Almighty God, we pledge ourselves to work in harmony for the social, cultural and economic well-being of our rural city. Help us to be wise in our deliberations and fair in our actions, so that prosperity and happiness shall be the lot of our people. Amen. The Horsham Rural City Council acknowledges the five traditional owner groups of this land, the Wotjobaluk, Bugaya, Jabbagok, Jagwa and Jabbajali people. We recognise the important and ongoing place that all Indigenous people hold in our community. We pay our respects to the Elders, both past and present, and commit to working together in the spirit of mutual understanding and respect for the benefit of the broader community and future generations. Thank you. Please be seated. Welcome, councillors and staff, and members of the gallery, and also the media, to our ordinary council meeting tonight. My name is Councillor Mark Radford, the Mayor of the Horsham Rural City Council. I advise the public that tonight's council meeting will be recorded to maintain an audio archive. Item number four, apologies. Apologies have been received tonight from Councillor Pam Clark, Councillor Alethea Golvin, and Councillor Josh Koenig. Can someone move to accept those apologies, please? Moved by Councillor Power, seconded by Councillor Robertson. All those in favour? That's carried. Thank you. Item five, leave of absence requests. Are there any requests for leave of absence? Item six is the confirmation of minutes. The minutes of the ordinary meeting of council, which was held on the 22nd of July 2019. Recommendation there, councillors, that they be adopted. Moved by Councillor Power. Thank you. Seconded by Councillor Dimble. Thank you. All those in favour? Against, that's carried. Thank you. Item seven is conflicts of interest. Are there any declarations this evening, councillors? Thank you. We move to item eight, which is public question time. Public question time is allocated at the start of the meeting before the formal agenda by council. Questions must be submitted in writing to council by 5 p.m. on the Friday prior to the council meeting. Standing orders will be suspended for question time to allow more informal discussion to take place. We do have a question, item nine, which is officers' reports. The Horsham Aquatic Centre outdoor pool extended hours. The purpose of this report is to approve the continuation of the Horsham Aquatic Centre outdoor pool extended hours trial of 2018. There's a recommendation that the council implement the extended hours of the outdoor pool for the 19-20 summer season based on the 18-19 summer season open times. The council revised the existing cold water policy to only come into effect after 8 a.m. with the outdoor pool to remain open from 6 to 8 during the season, irrespective of ambient temperature. The council note the cold water policy does not apply in the number one shoulder season due to delay in the pool opening. And finally, the council note the cold water policy does apply during the number two shoulder season, February to March. Okay, someone like to move that? Moved by Councillor Power and seconded by Councillor Robertson. Thank you. Councillor Power.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. One recommendation that I support thoroughly is the extended hours down there at the swimming pool for the people that are brave enough on some of those mornings, the cold, frosty mornings that we may get later on in the year, and get in the water between 6 and 8 o'clock in the morning. It's fantastic to see that we've agreed to come to this. For those people that do it. We're all about, in our city here of Horsham, of getting people up and active. And on those cold, frosty mornings, if people want to go swimming in the swimming pool, they've got my blessings, that's for sure. There's no doubt about that. It's hard enough to get on a push bike and actually ride around town at 6 o'clock in the morning on a cold, frosty morning, let alone dipping yourself into a cold pool. But as I say, the temperature of the pool, if the day before is, say, 30, 35 degrees, well, the pool is still warm enough to get into and have a swim. So congratulations, that's all I can say, for accepting this report, accepting the recommendation.
Thank you, Councillor Power. Councillor Robertson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Look, the investment on our part to do this is minimal. We've spent a lot of money on the pool itself. It makes sense to make it more available run a trial, which is what this will do. So more than happy to support it.
Thank you, Councillor Robertson. Are there any speakers against the recommendation? Any other speakers? Councillor Gimble.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just to endorse the comments made, but just to say that this has always been an important facility of council, and to improve our facilities like we're doing, it's important that we make it available for the broader public to use, and extending hours has certainly been something that they've brought to our attention. I just noticed in the report it says it under the purpose to approve the continuation of the Horsham Aquatic Outdoor Pool Extended Hours trial of 1899. I thought that we actually have done the trial, and I'd consider that this might not be considered a trial, but be considered now what is normal operating hours. And so I think it's just my read on the purpose, but I think it's a good outcome, and the community are telling us that they want the pool open for longer hours and we should make it available. It does, as Councillor Robinson alluded, it's only a small cost, but for that cost it creates an opportunity for those people who do like to swim at 6 a.m. in the morning and certainly involved in some fitness regime before they go to work.
Thank you, Councillor Gimble. Mr. O'Brien, I have a couple of questions. I was wondering if you might be able to give a brief summary of how the project's going down there at the moment, and also, is the solar heating still connected or will it be connected to the outdoor pool as part of the project?
Mr. Mayor, in relation to the project, I refer to John Martin. He oversees the project office.
Okay. Thank you. Mr.
Martin. Thanks, Mr. Mayor. The project, I think, is going generally pretty well. It's a tight timetable for the project and difficult conditions to work over the winter period. I think people would have seen a fair pile of earth placed there recent times there. There's a major balancing tank that's been installed now and it's about to undergo its hydraulic testing, so that's a fairly big milestone in the project and quite visible in terms of the soil, but that will all be tied up soon. In fact, I haven't been out there for the last few days just to check to see if it's already hasn't made a start of being removed. A lot of work's gone in within the pool area itself in terms of raising the floor level of the pool to the required level, and the gutting work has started on the new wet deck so that there won't be a beam on around the edge of the pool, so that's now pretty well advanced. So it's a tight timetable. At the moment it's looking more or less okay.
Okay, thank you. And I was asking about the solar heating. So prior to the works, the outdoor pool was solar heated. Do you know if that's still going to be part of what's happening?
I believe so, but I'll check that. I hope so.
Thank you. Okay, thank you. I'll put the motion. That all those in favour? Against, that's carried. Thank you. Moving now to item 9.2, the delegations update. The purpose of this report is to approve updates to council's delegations to staff, with changes arising from the Maddox Lawyers Delegation Service, and for any new and changed position titles or responsibilities that have occurred. A rather lengthy recommendation here, Council. I won't read it, it's before you. So happy to accept the motion if someone has one. Councillor Robinson?
I move that the recommendations be received.
So we've got to move the recommendation, Councillor Robinson, or do you want to ask a question?
I would like to just speak on it. I don't need to ask a question.
Well, someone needs to move it before you can speak.
Okay, well, I'll move it.
Thank you, Councillor Robinson. Appreciate that. Someone like to second it. Councillor Power. Councillor Robinson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I note with this the power to approve expenditure not contained in the budget approved by Council cannot be delegated. I think that's an important one. But, Mr. Mayor, I can't remember whether it was the last update we did or the one before. I raised the issue under the Planning and Environment Act and the Road Management Act. There were some delegations that we had delegated that ought to stay with Council. I've spoken with Mr. Harrison, I believe. We've got those corralled and flagged for future updates. But the Planning and Environment Act delegations around Sections 172, which is the power to acquire land compulsorily.
Yes.
So that's like a political decision in reality, so we should accept the responsibility to make that. Similarly, under the Road Management Act, Sections 12, 13 and 17, the power to discontinue a road or part thereof, the power to fix a road boundary, and the power to decide if a road is no longer required for general public use. And I could imagine if the council officer closed McBride Street that all hell might break loose, and that's more a political decision, Mr. Mayor. So that was the rationale for looking into this, to make sure that those more difficult decisions, we accept the responsibility for them, not a council officer.
Thank you, Councillor Mayor. Councillor Powell?
Mr. Mayor, I would just like to congratulate the department that's put this together, and the fact that they've actually checked with the lawyers, Maddox lawyers. It's really good that we keep up to date, and it says it's a 6-monthly update, so that's one good side of things, that we actually, with our delegations, who has control over our money and where it goes to, and where it, the decisions made about that actually are well documented for us as councillors to look at and to check over. So that's all I've got to say. Congratulations to the people who put the report together.
Councillor Power. Any speakers against the motion? Are there any other speakers? Councillor Jim.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just to note that these delegations, as long as the list may be, most of them are really either administrative or operational. Enables the staff, or indeed directors, to allow their staff to make decisions and action certain elements of their responsibilities without the need to come formally through the council process. So that's hence why most of them are for information and council. When you read through them, they're really things that the everyday person or even a council would probably not consider as a role of council. But just picking up on Councillor Robinson's comment, the power to discontinue a road or power to decide that a road is no longer reasonably required, I've come up to council in 2013 and council decided not to delegate that authority. So this is a continuation of making sure that when this list is reviewed by Maddox, that it still falls in line with council's authority, that we don't necessarily want to give away authority where we believe that it's in the best interest of the community for the council to debate that in the chamber. And I think a number of those, like the power to discontinue a road, really, I've learned very clearly in my time on council, there's always a lot of interest around those certain infrastructure, and everyone has a view around that. So to have a process that probably takes the responsibility off the officers and puts it back on the elected representatives, probably a good thing to do, and we become accountable then for the decisions we make. But again, I'll just reinforce that most of them are administrative and operational, and it just enables council staff to do the job that they're really responsible to carry out its function on behalf of council.
Thank you,
Councillor.
The only thing I picked up, Mr. Harrison, S 119.2 talks about Vic Roads. I think that should be updated to Regional Roads Victoria. Okay, guys, we'll put the motion. Was in favour? Against, that's carried. Thank you. Move now to item number 3, which is the Community Satisfaction Survey 2019. The purpose of this report is to receive and note the results of the 2019 Local Government Community Satisfaction Survey and the planned follow-up actions. Recommendation there, councillors. Moved by Councillor Powell, thank you. And seconded by Councillor Robertson, thank you. Councillor Powell.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Well, Community Satisfaction Survey 2019. What can I say about it? We've all had a look at it. We've got some good points and we've got some bad points, but overall, when I look at things like this, I can only look at the positive sides of things. People out there are talking about us. Good or bad, they're still talking about us. Satisfaction survey. I don't think there's too many politicians, whether they're federal, state or local politicians, and I don't call myself a politician, but a local person in council, that can please everybody. if we can please 50% of the population, we're going extremely well, because there's always people out there with opinions, whether they're positive or negative, which way they see different points of interest within our community. As you go through the core measures and so forth, and we have a look at the different things that are there, it prompts us then to think about how we can do things better or positively achieve better results. So all I can say is, in relation to this, there are things there we need to take from it. We need to be positive about it, though. Instead of picking out the negatives that are in the report, we take out the positives, build on the positives, and create positives out of the negatives. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Power. Councillor Robinson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I guess I'll take a slightly different view on the way forward. My colleague, Councillor Power, results have been somewhat consistent, although pleasingly, if we can say that, a downward trend seems to have levelled off. So we've now got to come up the other side. But our overall performance is rated significantly lower than regional centres and the statewide averages, 10 index points lower than the peak result of 65 achieved in 2014. It's probably a fairly strong message there. So, you know, from 65 down to 55 is not good, and that's the overall performance. The other area we've consistently come in for criticism is making community decisions, and that's council's community decision making 15 index points below the statewide average, and it is important to note that the rural performance rating was historically around 55 and then dropped to 44 in 2018 and then 40 in 2019. And we would understand that the rural rate issues would certainly have caused some of that, and sealed local roads. We get flogged for that, but of course a lot of those roads are actually not our roads, but there's still a residual impact there. Mr. Mayor, our council officers do quite a bit of work in planning a way forward and probably planning a way out of this for us, but I don't think a lot of the issues are internal to the council machine, if I can call it that. I think the issues are really what we should be picking up on as councillors and thinking about the way we do business. It does concern me this time around that customer service, which has always stayed traditionally quite high, and I've taken as a great indicator of what our actual staff do, our frontline staff in the office here, in Parks and Gardens and all the rest of it, has always been high, and that's dropped too, and I can't help but wondering why, and I don't believe it's the service that our frontline staff have provided. We've put some sort of barrier in the way that's actually had an impact there, and perhaps one of those is our after-hours call-out service. I don't think that's working particularly well. In fact, when I get a phone call to say someone's cutting wood illegally and you know, they couldn't achieve an outcome through our call-out service, but you know, maybe there's some things there for us to look at, but I don't think it's single opinions. I think this is quite an overall picture, and we have to take note of it. We have to do something about it, but it's us as much, well, us more than the council officers that have to address this issue. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Robertson. Any speakers against the recommendation? Any other speakers? Councillor Grimmel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Look, in the past I've seen a number of these while I've been to council. I haven't been too perturbed around drawing out statistics of these evaluations, because really you can look at the upside, you can look at the downside. But one of the things that's really compelling this time around is certainly the score given to this council on behalf of the rural sector. And when you look at the lowest score right across our performance measures, the rural area has certainly made its point known, and I think that in the report it talks around a couple of reasons for that. There's sealed roads and also the rate issue, but I'm going to go further than saying it's really a council that's probably out of touch with a large sector is community, it's now time as part of the recommendation that we should work hard on making sure we address that anomaly. And if you go to page, I'm not sure what page it is, but it's in the recommendation. We talk around focus areas for the next coming 12 months. It says that in terms of priorities for the year ahead, Horsemonger City Council should focus on service areas where current performance levels are low and remain significantly lower than the statewide and regional centre group averages. And that talks about the impact on the Riverlees. Mr. Mayor, over the last 12 months, there was quite a lot of spirited debate around the rates issue, and I believe that from a political perspective, we could have actually done that a little bit better. It is the sole reason that I joined council, was to maintain a rural perspective in what I see an urban council, and it disappoints me when we had the requirement of 130 odd farmers come in over multiple council meetings, and we haven't really shown that sector of our community the level of empathy they were looking for. And I recall at a couple of council meetings where indeed we read the eviction notice to them and threatened to throw them all out, which certainly is not the way of understanding what the issues they raised. They did have a public meeting at the Kalki, which was attended by councillors and senior officers, and it was good to get a handle on that. But again, you know, there wasn't the level of understanding around the issues they wanted to raise, Mr. Mayor. I look at the report, and some of the things they raise are difficult to manage, and I'll talk about the rates issue for a start. And our rural folk actually have different requirements and different levels of service, very different to the urban sector. But one of the things that comes out very loud and clear is the level of rate burden doesn't reflect the level of council services they receive. And it was very compelling recently when one of our farming sectors who saw a rate increase of about 35%. I asked the question of him, what services could council provide to you to justify that you got reasonable value for money? And his answer was quite simply the fact that, I could actually build my own indoor sports stadium if I got two or three of my neighbours together. We could build our own aquatic centre, which brought home the stark reality of the level of burden. Difficult to manage, Mr. Mayor, because as a regional city, we all know that the city needs to prosper, needs to develop and grow, and it has a high level of requirement for this council to provide regional facilities, which aren't necessarily funded by our neighbouring council. So there's got to be a balancing act. But again, I've spoken to many people, and they talk about the deterioration of not Vic Roads roads, but some of our own roads, particularly the loss of pavement, the lack of some of our resources being out actively working, graders and shoulder grading and those sorts of things. But I do also acknowledge the limitation between having good quality product and also being able to manage road making in this part of the state where it's very problematic. We've got some of the worst soils. So there's some challenges there. But I actually, like Councillor Robinson, this is actually a huge wake-up call, not for the majority of the report, but particularly from those people who have stored us in the way they have, and that's the rural sector. And it's time that we re-engage and put the rural back into a portion of Rural City Council, because I have a view that we've lost touch with our farming sector, and we need to make amends with that. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Mayor. I think the community satisfaction survey is really important. I agree with what's been said tonight. It should not be ignored. Yes, you can sort of look at the timing of it and say, well, this was happening then or this wasn't happening then. That may influence things. Whether there be any value in doing two surveys a year and doing them at random times, I don't know. That would be a question for others to ask. But the numbers are what they are. And yes, you're right, Councillor Power, there's two ways of looking at everything, and you can look at the things which have improved, and but there's also important, you can't ignore those things which haven't improved. One of the questions I had, it might be a question for you, Mr. Harrison. In the report, it talks about the electronic newsletter, the e-newsletter talks about community. One of the solutions that was talked about was having better correspondence with our community, and in the preferred way of communication, the word newsletter was used. So my question says, how often does the electronic newsletter go out? If that's a question you might know, answer to. If not, take it on notice.
Yeah, if I could take it on notice and I can bring back some stats about, I think we're up to our fourth edition of it, I think.
Okay.
And I can certainly bring back some stats as to how many people have subscribed to it and where that's at. So.
I just really think that, particularly when people shift to electronic, where there's no postage costs, it should be something that we really embrace, and whether it be probably not monthly, but certainly bi-monthly, something from the council, I think, would be good, and that might be something to do. Picking out what else has changed, and hearing what Councillor Roberts has said, I think it is important to note and Councillor Gribble, we have successfully trialled the new ways of doing our community consultations in our outlying areas, and that certainly worked well in the last two that we've done. And I think that formula we need to stick to, Mr. Bowler, in a way engaging our folks. But the test is when we go back next time, to be able to say, well, since our last meeting, these are the things that happened. And I think that's important for that accountability. And the final thing I wanted to touch on, and Councillor Gribble did mention it, was the rates discussions. And it certainly was a lengthy process. We had a lot of submissions, and I would say, in my view, it was a thorough process. It was encouraging to hear, and Mr. McIntyre's here this evening. Mr. McIntyre and others thank us at the conclusion of that process for where it led, and the results are there. And what we would like to think has been a fairer rate distribution in the last for this financial year. The survey will continue, and we do have an option of having extra questions. So, Mr. Harrison, when does that option come? Is that something in November, I think it might be, towards the end of the year? So that's something councillors might want to think. Are there any particular questions that we'd like to ask during that process? And another question I had for you just quickly, is that a set number of people? I think it's 400 per survey. Is that locked in? Could you do more? Could you survey more if you wanted to?
Yes, you can. You can survey more, but obviously at a price.
Yeah, sure.
But I suppose across the state, 400. That's seen as a statistically significant number to survey.
Yeah.
And it's probably worthwhile making a remark too that because it's done with a phone survey, then that's increasingly becoming challenging as well.
Yeah.
As people change their habits around phones as well.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. I'll put the recommendation. All those in favour? Okay, so that's carried. Thank you. We move now to item 9.4, which is the policy review, rates and charges, financial hardship policy. The purpose of this report is to adopt the revised rates and charges financial hardship policy, and that's what the recommendation says, councillors. Someone would like to move that. Terrific. Moved by Councillor Power. Thank you. And seconded. Seconded by Councillor Robinson. Thank you. Councillor Power.
Rates and charges financial hardship policy. Interesting. I would just like to support the recommendation. I'll put my hand up for it. And I think we should adopt and revise the revised rates and charges financial hardship policy. Pretty simple.
Councillor Power, Councillor Robertson.
Just simply to say it makes a lot of sense that people with financial difficulties don't have to come trooping in here once a quarter.
Yes.
If we understand their circumstances haven't changed, then it just saves that extra burden, which would be psychologically difficult as well as for some people physically difficult.
I agree. Thank you, Councillor Robinson. Any speakers against the recommendation? Any other speakers? I put the recommendation. All those in favour? Against, that's carried. Thank you. Move now to item 9.5, Municipal Association of Victoria State Council submission, cemeteries. The purpose of this report is to endorse a notice of motion to be considered on the agenda of the Municipal Association of Victoria State Council meeting, which is to be held on the 18th of October 2019. And the recommendation there, councillors, is to endorse the motion, which has been attached, and then submit the motion to the MAV by September the 9th.
Mr. Mayor, so move the recommendations tabled on the agenda.
Thank you, Councillor Brimble. Second one, Councillor Robertson. Thank you. Councillor Brimble.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I want to thank Mr. Harrison for assisting through in the preparation of the motion, which was brought to our attention by some of our neighbouring communities that have issues about how they manage their small cemeteries. So this is an opportunity for Council to take this up in the MAB and see if we get some assistance to those small rural communities, particularly in their administrative arm of managing their local cemeteries. If you read the rationale behind the report, it's relatively self-explanatory, but this is fairly consistent with cemeteries right across the state, where we see lack of volunteer numbers and the requirement of volunteers to either run the local hall or the local CFA or local cemeteries. And there's some onerous administrative requirements on local cemeteries which need to be adhered to, and some of those people that are putting up some of that onerous regulations makes it very difficult for people to fully understand what their responsibilities are. I have a very clear view that most small communities have the capacity to do basic maintenance around their cemetery, such as mowing and getting prepared for the fire danger period, but this is really around getting some assistance through this motion to deal with some of the administrative issues. And one of the issues that will certainly raise is the categorisation of cemeteries, and there needs to be another category which doesn't bundle some of our small cemeteries in with larger cemeteries and make it less onerous. So I encourage councillors to support that. I hope that Mr. Mayor, when you get off the MAB AGM, if this gets supported, we might seek support in a broader context to see if we can address some of these onerous issues on the community.
Councillor Goodman, you raised this discussion topic in our last briefing meeting, so thank you for that. Councillor Robertson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So you support the comments by Councillor Goodman. The delegations that we went through just a short while ago, Mr. Mayor, there's about 12 pages of them that relate to these cemeteries. Yeah. And one of them is power to manage multiple public cemeteries as if they were one cemetery. So maybe there's a bit of thinking that we can do this a whole lot better, but certainly as our community gets older, a lot of these cemeteries are just going to sit idle for many years. As there's still partners around that are alive, but in a few more years most of those will be gone, and it'll be hard work for those that are left behind. So certainly support that.
Thank you, Councillor. Any speakers against the recommendation? Are there any other speakers? So I'd like to acknowledge two sides of this. Certainly the volunteers who already commit a lot of time and effort, both on the ground, maintaining the visual appearance of our cemeteries. They are the historical value, can't be underestimated, particularly in our smaller communities. Those communities, I'm just picturing the Narajua Cemetery, other small ones which are sort of tucked away, Tuan, which are really valuable from an historical point of view, and yet there's less residents living out that way to help maintain them and also do the bookwork side of it. So I think it is a worthy cause to push along, and hopefully we'll bring it to the MAV conference and we might get some traction in that direction. So I'm happy to support it tonight, councillors. I'll put the recommendation. All those in favour? Against? That's carried. Thank you. We move now to item 9.6, the Council Plan Half Yearly Report, 1st of January 2019 to the 30th of June. The purpose of this report is to receive and note the report on progress against the 4-year priorities and strategic indicators in the Council Plan for the period of 1 January to 30th of June this year.
Mr. Mayor, can I ask a question before we...
Certainly.
Mr. Mayor, the... recommendation is that Council note the 2019 Council Half Yearly Report for the period 1st of January 19 to the 30th of June 19. My question, Mr. Mayor, is what do we mean by note? Does that mean that we accept that the report is valid and that we can move forward on the basis that everything in the plan as reported that this half-yearly report is is all good to go, or I'm unclear on what we mean by note. And I note that we use the term note and receive. Sometimes we're using note this time. Are we accepting the report? Are we just taking the report and it can sit on the shelf? We don't have to, we're not agreeing with anything in it. Can I have some clarity on that, please?
Sure. Mr. Bellow or Mr. Harrison?
Yeah, through you, Ms. Mayor. I suppose the purpose of the half-yearly report is to simply report against the actions. So it's about giving an update as to how those items are tracking. It's not about the time to sort of take things out of the council plan or add things to the council plan or to say we're not going to do something is when we review the council plan. This is merely a reporting back from officers as to how each of those actions are going.
So if I can just ask another question, Mr. Mayor.
Yep, sir.
Thank you. So what if I disagree with one of the points that you are going to note? How do I put that on the table?
Thank you. Maybe you should ask a question about that. So would you like to ask a specific question, Councillor Wallace, about one particular item?
Well, there's probably more than one, but if there's one or if there's 10 or if there's 20 items that I don't agree with in this plan, yeah, how do I actually put on the table that I don't agree with?
Perhaps could I answer that by saying when this report came to the brief, our last briefing, there was an opportunity for councillors to make any suggestions, changes, and I remember saying at the end of the meeting a reminder that that's an opportunity to contact Mr. Harrison directly to do that. So that is an option. Having said that, I found two that I didn't mention the other night, which I was going to mention tonight, but I think perhaps need to be changed. So it is a fluid document, would be fair to say, Mr. Harrison, right? It's, I think, an active, live document, if you like.
Live document.
And so, yes, it is subject to change. I disagree with some of the reporting there, which I'm going to mention in a minute. So, if you want to make that, and that can be part of noting your opinions, if you like, Councillor Robertson. I suppose the word note is just that. It's here is presented, and note what has been written by the other the officers. Is that why the word note is used? Yeah, I'm not sure if that's helpful or not.
Well, not really, Mr. Mayor, because, well, for example, investigate other options for the Wimmera River Sports Stadium has been removed and, you know, there's no grounds to remove it because we haven't actually investigated other options.
Yes.
So from that perspective, the report's not correct. So I think... And we used to...
Yeah, so... Yeah, sorry.
So we used to move to receive something or not receive something and debate that. Yeah. We're not now. We've gone into this almost warm and fluffy, very unclear sort of process, and we've gone from note and receive to this one's just note. And I think we're on dangerous grounds, and it's not true, I don't believe, to say that the council plan is a moving document. We want to change it. We've got to go to the community.
So I'm not sure if you want to respond to that.
Yes, through you, Mr. Mayor. I think maybe one of the options could be that, I mean, we don't necessarily have to, note and receive this now.
Yeah.
We could actually... we can come back and revisit it and look at those things.
In a
briefing, that's fine. I suppose officers try and present it as an update to council and the community around these items, and if there's something not right, then we should correct it. But that's the idea of taking it to the briefing.
Okay. So there could be a motion in Council Robertson.
Or Mr. Mayor, would you note and receive the comment that we maybe ought to come up with a better way of defining this so we don't have this... Yeah, we need clarity. The community need clarity. This is an important document. It's like our budget and other documents. We need to do it right. It's too grey and it could cause us some grief. So I believe this should be deferred and we go through it again. And
so would you like to formulate that into a motion, Councillor Robinson?
Well, I'm happy to move that this be deferred until the next meeting for further consideration.
Thank you. I'll just wait till Ms Franklin writes that down. Would someone like to second that, please?
Mr Mayor, I might amend that if I can. I believe it needs to include the words that that we be referred back to further discussion. I think that's what Councillor Robbins was doing.
Yeah.
Happy with that. Thanks for those, Mr Mayor.
Are you happy to second that, Councillor Gould?
Happy to second that.
Okay, thank you. I'll just get Ms Franklin to read that, please.
That this matter be deferred back to the next meeting.
Further discussion.
Okay.
Yeah. That's fine. Thank you. Okay, so it's moved by Councillor Robinson, second by Councillor Grimble. Councillor Robinson, do you want to say anything else?
I think I've covered that, Mr Mayor, but at the same time, I think we need to tighten up our process.
Okay. Thank you. Councillor
Gould,
do you want to say
more? Mr Mayor, I need to say that the motion and the wording of the motion is so important in the council resolution. So to defer a report, that's in effect all you're resolving to do. So to defer the report and actually take it back for further discussion is very clear what the intent is. The other comment I will make is that I see this council plan half-yearly report provided for information to council, and that's what it is. It's a report for our information. It doesn't require any action unless there's another action that comes from the council meeting. The last thing I want to re-emphasise is the recommendation that any council agenda is to guide the meeting. It's not set in stone that the councils need to follow that. The recommendation is highlighted in tonight's council agenda. Says that council note the council plan between those 1st of January to the 30th of June 2009. If council has decided that's not in sync with what they want to do.
Understate the importance of the briefing meetings we have and we make the most of those on every other Monday night. I put the motion, all those in favour? Against, that's carried. Thank you. Move now to item 9.7. which is the quarterly financial report, 30th of June. The purpose of this report is to receive and note the quarterly financial report for the financial quarter and also the financial year ending 30th of June, with the recommendation of the councillors. Someone want to move that? Or something similar?
Something
different. Move that it be received. Either move the what's there, Councillor Robinson, or move something else, or ask.
I'll move what's there.
Sorry.
I'm happy to move.
Happy to move the recommendation. Yes. Okay. Thank you. Someone like to second that, please. Councillor Power. Councillor Robinson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Firstly, I just wanted to comment on the $5 million received for the rural council. Transformation fund, and this is $5 million received on the efforts of the CEO, and I think there's something like eight councils, Mr. Bale, is that correct?
Six
collaborating on the way we do business and our structures. So I think the economies of scale from that will benefit this community and a number of other communities. So I think we have to commend the government for supporting that. The other one, and Mr. Harrison, you might have to take this one on notice, but I had a very recent inquiry about the exact costs of the Wimmera River Precinct and CAD study. If we could get some understanding of the costs of that to date, and I don't expect you to necessarily have the answer to that on the top of your head.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. If I can take that on notice and we can bring the report back.
That'll be true. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Councillor Power?
No, thank you.
Any speakers against the recommendation? Any other speakers? I'll put the recommendation. All those in favour? Thank you. 9.8, community engagement review. Purpose of this report is to receive and note the report on the review of Council's community engagement processes, actions which have been taken to date, and further actions identified to improve community engagement. There's a recommendation there, councillors, to note the report from Arnatech and also note the status of the improvement actions from the review.
I'll move the recommendation.
Councillor Gumbel. Seconded, please. Councillor Wilson. Councillor Gumbel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Look, I read the report and I found it a little bit difficult to read, and I don't believe it's fully the mark from what I was looking at. It does talk primarily around the review of Council's policy and practice, but what it's really talking about is how we engage with the community and set some processes around how we do that. And I find it a little bit mystifying while we have to engage a consultant that provides a realm of paperwork, administrative policy on how we do our business. To me, it is administrative. Some of the blurb in the reporting, unless I've read it the wrong way, actually talks around definitions, and it talks around the definitions of what consultation is. Well, consultation is really about going out and talking to our community and understanding about what their needs are, which is very different to briefing, I might add. But Mr. Mayor, when you read through the report provided by the consultants, it talks about stakeholders. I'm going to read a relevant section out of the report, which is attached at 9.8b, and it talks about stakeholders. It says stakeholders' participation seems to be related to who council administration has identified as a stakeholder. It also goes on to talk about decision-making, which is the elected members, and it says there's no evidence that elected members provide direction at time of decision-making with regards to our community engagement. Mr. Mayor, this is the very stuff that we've been critiqued on in our most recent consultation meeting, and it's telling us in one way that council doesn't step up to the plate as much as we should do, and there's a number of factors why that is so, and I've been outspoken about a couple of those. One is our frequency of meetings. Again, I've been outspoken around the number of meetings we have. We've reduced those effectively by half. So there's half the opportunity that the councillors will sit around the table and have the opportunity to debate and engage in regular decision making. Indeed, tonight we have three absentees who are both, they've all been noted and accepted, so I'm not going to make any comment around that. But effectively, if one of the other councillors had some reason why we couldn't attend, we don't hold a quorum. So that makes it problematic. If we then miss a council meeting, we've either got to call a special meeting or we'll wait for another month. So I find that problematic. But Mr. Mayor, I did scratch my head with this report. I know the recommendation is just to receive and note it, but to me it's a lot of play on words. There's not much really that tells me how we're going to improve our consultation, apart from being policy driven and really administrative and red tape, and I struggle to read and understand how we can improve our processes with this one. Maybe I've read it the wrong way.
Thank you, Councillor Robinson.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Now, Mr. Mayor, I took some note of what the Victorian Auditor General's office commented. The audit report overview outlined VAGO's expectations that Council's approach to public participation, that engagement should reflect the scale, purpose and level of public interest in the Council decision or project. Regardless of the size of the project, VAGO would expect to see documented evidence that Councils have understood and appropriately taken into account better practice principles when designing and implementing their public participation activities. Mr. Mayor, I guess I comment on a few of the things that we've done in my time in council. I think we could have done them a lot better, but as Councillor Gribble said, there's a lot of words here, but I think at the end of the day, it's all fairly common sense stuff, and In reality, we're the 7 elected people, 4 of us here tonight, but we're the ones the community want to talk to understand, to stand up and act on their behalf. I think this is more of an issue for us, as I said earlier, rather than an issue for council officers and internal processes. And I think it's up us that need to step up to the plate, and you know, we certainly could have done it a lot better. Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Robinson, any speakers against the recommendation? Are there any other speakers? I'd just like to add that I reckon in the last 10 years it would be interesting to reflect on the way the council has approached community engagement, particularly now with the different tools it has to use. It is something that we intentionally need to keep improving. It's a challenge. We talked about the statistics a few weeks ago about engagement numbers, and with a municipal population now heading towards 20,000 people, we were encouraged, and rightly encouraged, that we had an all-time record, I think it was an all-time record, of 300 engagements around the rating strategy. But if you do that in a percentage issue, in a percentage formula of the rate base, it's still very low. And so that's a challenge, and which relates to our, I think there's a direct link, Councillor Robertson, between this and also our community satisfaction survey. With that, you know, that active participation level sitting around about 2%, it is a challenge, and I'm sure that the communications team look at that and are keen to try new ways. Certainly in the last few weeks we've been trying new ways of getting out and about and talking to people, and we'll just continue doing that. So, you know, I'm happy to note the report from ANTIC, and we'll be certainly judged in a way, I suppose, when the next community satisfaction survey comes out, and even the recent work done we've been doing at the moment with the City to River. I understand we're over, just reached 400 submissions there, which is encouraging. So on we march. On the recommendation, all those in favour? Against, that's carried. Thank you.